I want to introduce to you now the very talented, where's she at? Sophia, where are you? There you are, Overstreet.
Imagine that the year is about 40 AD and you live near the city of Jerusalem. 40 years ago, this was the very place in which our Savior, Lord Jesus Christ, was born. You are observing the seasoned shepherd and his two eldest daughters walking on the hills, about 2 miles outside of Bethlehem. They are just arriving for the nightly watch over their sheep. The shepherd is recounting the story with his daughters that he has told them many times of the most exciting night of his life that took place right here. Now open your Bibles to Luke chapter 2, verse 8, and be filled with them in wonder of the story they tell.
We made it.
Every year it gets a little harder to climb these hills to watch the sheep below.
At least the weather is nice. That makes it easier, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But we can stay here and watch our sheep on the hillside below. Don't they look calm tonight? Hopefully they'll stay that way. Elizabeth, Gabriella, this is your first overnight watch on these hills. Now that you're 12 years old, you have become young women.
Yeah, usually this job is for boys. But after 6 attempts, God hasn't given you any boys, has he, Dad?
No, he hasn't. But we're in good company with the great Moses, aren't we? One of my favorite scriptures. Now, Jethro, the priest of Midian, had 7 daughters, and he gave one, his daughter Zipporah, to be married to Moses. God really blesses those families with all girls, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does. We have been looking forward to this night for a long time, haven't we, Dad? When we could come here to the place and the time of the story you've been telling us our entire lives.
Yes, I was here. Every year I spend this night on these hills watching the sheep, and I will as long as I have the strength to do it. I was here that special, glorious night 40 years ago. I was the same age as you are now, and it surprised me the hardships of being a shepherd, the cold, the loneliness, even wolves. But hopefully we won't see any of those tonight. But if we do, you'll be ready, won't you, Gabriella?
Oh, yeah!
All right. Now, do you think you girls remember all that I've told you about that special, wondrous night? We're going to find out. It was a wonderful night. Who was I with that night?
Your father was with you, and his brother, Granduncle James. Hosea, the son of John, a friend and relative of ours, was also there. Just the 4 of you.
Ah, very good. And what else have I told you about that night, Gabriella?
It was a bleak midwinter's night. You drove the flock from Bethlehem and spent the night in the south of the tower. Is this the tower? Right here?
Yes, this is the very tower. What else do you remember?
Grandfather and you kept the holy watches, and in the middle of the night, you would usually call James and Hosea to take over the watch. But on that night, when the stars came out, you were all sitting here, upon this very hillside, talking of the troubles of Israel.
Ah, yes, the troubles of Israel. We have many troubles. Why, just look over there to the southeast. See the Herodium rising above the horizon. It's 4 miles away, and we can see it clearly. King Herod the Great spent our hard-earned money on his grand building projects. The Roman governor Felix isn't any better today. But enough about that. What else do you remember about that night?
I remember that you talked about God's promises of deliverance spoken of by the prophets. Grandfather recited many scriptures to you all that night. You told us about them many times.
That's right. Very good. And I remember those scriptures vividly. I might not have had it not been for all that happened that night. What scriptures did Grandfather recite?
For one, he quoted from the book of Numbers, from Balaam's prophecy. I see him, but not here and now. I perceive him, but far in the distant future. A star will rise out of Jacob. A scepter will emerge from Israel.
Very good. Remembering Balaam. Very good. My father asked us, do you know what these verses mean? And we were sure that he did. He knew their meaning. Oh, girls, you'd have been as scared as I was. Yes, scared. The most frightened I'd ever been in my entire life. You see, we were sitting over here, right under this tree. It's still here after all these years. And we were laughing and joking and telling stories. And then suddenly there was a lull in the conversation. And we all kind of sighed at the same time. You know how you do that. And then...
I remember.
Yeah.
Suddenly, the men sprang up in astonishment and wonder. It had become light all at once, like sunlight during the day, although it was still night. And then you looked and saw, standing there upon that level place, an angel.
Yes, and I was gripped with fear at the sight of him, my eyes fixed on his wonderful gaze. His eyes seemed to beam with purity. And it was not a smile that appeared on his face. It was a look of power and peace, of triumph and joy. Ah, that is right. And then he opened his mouth. And what did he begin saying, Gabriella?
He said, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be unto all people. For unto you born this day in the city of David, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this shall be the sign unto you. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger."
Ah, excellent. That's right. And it makes my heart beat faster even now to remember that. And then, before we had time to reply, the angel turned his face to the side a little and lifted his voice to heaven. And even louder, what did he begin singing?
Glory to God in the highest!
Yes. And after he said that, he paused. And the echoes began returning from the hills that were near and then from the hills that were far away. And at that moment, I finally knew what the prophet Isaiah meant when he said, all the mountains should break forth into singing. And it happened right here in front of us. And then what happened?
Before the echoes faded, you began to hear other voices above your head. A great chorus of angels repeating what the first angel had sung. It filled all the earth with the most beautiful sound. Glory to God in the highest. That is my favorite part.
Yes, I agree. And then their song seemed to reach the heavens. But then came the softer tones, even sweeter. What did they sing next?
They sang, "Peace on earth to men on whom his favor rests."
Ah, yes, peace on earth. What a concept of God. Well, we all remained listening until the angels' chorus stopped, and the echoes faded, and the sky darkened again. And then what happened?
The stars returned, and the only noise was the voice of a young lamb calling for its mother. Bent.
Yes, you remember. At that quiet moment, we felt special. We felt honored. We couldn't understand, and to this day, I still don't really understand why we were chosen. But we felt loved by God. It was a special, wonderful night. I am different because of it. But it wasn't over. Then what happened?
Grandfather was the first to break the silence. He said in a confident voice, "Come, let us go at once to Bethlehem, the city of David, and see this thing the Lord has made known to us." Yes, so you quickly gathered your sheep into the sheepfold and started to hurry to Bethlehem.
Oh, we hurried to Bethlehem. Now, how did we know to go to Bethlehem?
Everyone knows that Bethlehem is the city where King David was born. More than that, Grandfather immediately remembered Micah's prophecy. But you, O Bethlehem, Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me, one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from old, from ancient days.
That's right. Very good. Yes. And we reached Bethlehem. Our sides ached by the time we reached that dusty, crowded little town. We ran in 2 miles to get there. But we forgot our discomfort at the moment that we arrived at the inn. Do you remember how we knew to go to the inn?
Well, it was midnight when you reached Bethlehem. You said you did not know exactly where to go. You only had the message of the angel that you would know the baby Messiah by this sign. He was to be wrapped in swaddling cloths. Well, that's normal for babies. But lying in a manger, that's definitely not normal for babies.
That's right.
That's true, sister. Grandfather asked everyone, where would we find a manger? A feeding trough for animals? Then he figured it out. He said, let us go to the inn. Maybe some visitors who have come for the tax would have heard of a newborn baby. You entered the inn's gate and found the courtyard full of traveling animals. And every room you could see had people in it. Mm-hmm. And you saw many other people outside. People who had no rooms, lying on the ground with their animals. And you approached 2 older women near the entrance who were talking and said, Shalom, peace be unto you. And one lady answered, there is little peace for latecomers. The inn is completely full, and anyone who arrives late must sleep out here in the open with animals all around. But Grandfather said, we are not seeking lodging. Do you know whether there is among the guests a baby born this day? And one of them answered, indeed there is, a baby boy more beautiful than any my eyes have ever beheld. He was only born a short time ago, and many of us went to see him. Can you believe he is lying in a manger in the cave that serves as a stable?
I know, right? Isn't that amazing? In a cave that serves as a stable? And when we arrived at the mouth of that cave, what we saw was gripping. Why, I bet if we made a model of the scene, everyone would buy one for their homes.
Good idea, Dad.
Thank you. Describe what we saw, Elizabeth.
The oxen and the donkeys were lying near, and a strong-looking young man, the husband with a kindly face, was leaning on his staff alongside the manger. It was Joseph, and a beautiful young mother lay close beside the manger. It was Mary, and into the manger a little straw had been thrown, and over that a robe had been placed, and on that the infant child lay, just as the angel had said. Grandfather broke the silence when he said, Hail you who are blessed among women! This child of yours is a prince and a savior! Then everyone bowed low before the new king and worshipped him with praise and gladness. After that, Grandfather told them all the things that they had seen and heard. The message of the angel, the song in the air, the glory of the Lord, and how you had quickly come to Bethlehem to have found the things just as the angel had told you.
Yes, all of us who arrived at the stable were full of wonder. But then I looked at Mary, and I noticed no wonder on her face. The great things that my father had told everyone caused her no astonishment. She just had a look on her face as if someone thinking to her heart, I've heard this before. Well, then what happened?
When Grandfather finished speaking, everyone bowed low again before the baby. Mary lifted him in her arms and placed his cheek against her, smiling, but uttering no word. And then you came out of the stable, into the courtyard of the inn, and began telling everyone the good news of all you had heard and seen. And you returned to awaken your families and friends to tell them all you had heard and seen.
Yes, that is right. And if we had not all told the same story, they would have thought we were insane. Well, some thought so anyway. But of all the times this story has been told, we have never had to exaggerate because it is true. It is true. And as you know, girls, as I've told you also many times, there is more to this story than just the Savior's birth in Bethlehem. I followed the news of that baby boy all of its life. I believed the story of the wise men who came from the east almost 2 years later to visit the Christ child. I believed the stories that were coming out of towns all over Israel that this boy, now a full-grown man, was performing miracles of God and was the Messiah. I wept at the news of his death when you girls were just 3 years old. But at the news of his resurrection, again, I believed. I knew Jesus is the Son of God. He is the great shepherd of his people. And we will see him again. And until then, we will live in endless praise. You girls remember the details so well. Surely the next generation is in good hands with people like you.
Thanks, Dad. Could we go look for a wolf now?
Oh, sure. Go ahead. Just yell if you find one.
Thanks.
I am going to transform back into the 21st century now. As performed by taking off the beard and going back to our modern inventions like adjustable music stands. These are great. What a great time to be alive. So we are just 2 days. I do want to say thank you to Liz and Gabby, first of all, who... who, when we came up with this idea about 3 months ago, they said yes, and they pressed, and they have never wavered ever for a moment. I also wanted to thank Tim Edgren, who was our director and kind of taught us how to act in this, and we appreciate that. And I did want to mention that the script was written by my dad, actually, more than 30 years ago. He wrote it as a monologue, and we took a lot of liberties with it to make it our own. But I wanted to share that and thank him for doing the bulk of the writing. And it's a real special thing. So, thanks, Dad. So, we are just 2 days away from Christmas. And some people in our church and in our community have little or no hope. And some people in our church and community are suffering or hurting so much right now, they have little ability to even hope. But what God does through the story of the shepherds is meet all of us where we are. It's why God sent his angels to shepherds in the first place. And the shepherds grasped it, and they were filled with wonder. Please open your Bible to Luke chapter 2, verse 8, if you don't already have them open. And if you'd like to pull out your sermon notes from the bulletin, if you'd like to write things down, you can do that right now too. My challenge for everyone this morning is to wonder, as the shepherds did, at the gospel. The gospel literally means good news. What did the angels have to tell the shepherds? The good news, the gospel of great joy. To wonder at the gospel, then, all those who are in one of three categories in life right now. Everyone is in one of these three categories, and I'm going to speak to them all right now this morning. The first is wonder at the gospel, all those who are hopeless or suffering. Wonder at the gospel. One of the greatest purposes of this text, realized over the last 2,000 years that it's been in print, is that in communicating the gospel events to shepherds first, God says to everyone in the world, Jesus is for you. That's why he started with the shepherds. Who were the shepherds? Back then, they were generally poor. They were ceremonially unclean and so outcast to society. Often their testimony didn't stand up in court. They had no respect and a very hard life. Are you hopeless today? Are you filled with anxiety, having a hard time making ends meet, suffering, in pain, in despair of any kind, just 2 days before Christmas? Do you have a health condition or a sadness or a guilt, things in your past, give them to God. His gospel is peace. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. I was talking to Lynn Alport, one of the leaders of our grief share ministry, the other day, and I thought, who better to ask for a word to share to the people who are suffering right now, just 2 days before Christmas? And I want to read what she wrote. She wrote these words. She says, "Christmas is a time for joy, memories, and wonder. Yet many of us feel as if something is wrong, missing, like we are on the outside looking in. Jesus knows how each of us feels during this joyous time, our hurts, our aching, our missing a special person who has shared so many of these happy times with us. Jesus knows the ache of separation. Jesus agreed to leave his kingship, his fellowship with his Father in heaven. And as a man, he would experience separation from his Father, sorrow and mourning when loved ones passed from this life, physical pain, rejection by the very people he came to help, to save. But he experienced all of this to give us hope. Prophecies fulfilled, promises were realized. Jesus came to show us that we are not alone and to save us." Now, I want to say that if this is the category that you're in for any reason today, friends, nothing will comfort you more than focusing on the God who became human to bring you peace, to bring us salvation, to save us from sin and despair. And I pray that he comforts you and that you'll ask for help if you need it. And that brings us to the second group of people that the Christmas story touches. And we've all been in this one because we are humans. It is wonder at the gospel, all those who are in fear. Those in fear. Now, Luke 2, 8 through 20 is a familiar story. We hear Linus read it every year. And if we do only hear that and read it, and we only have ever had warm and fuzzy feelings and nostalgia and nothing else, then we're missing the point of the text. This text begins with a message of fear, of terror. Look at verses 8 and 9 again. "And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear." The Greek wording there literally says the shepherds feared with a great fear. There is a repetition to make it powerful, this fear. And what did they fear? Look at the text. It was the glory of the Lord that shone around them. That's what caused them great fear. This is a major theme of the Bible, that men, women, and children love the darkness naturally. And the glory of God strikes fear in the heart of men. The glory of God terrifies us. The glory light of Christmas is not only soothing, no, it is terrifying to the human nature. But look what the angel says then in verse 10. "The angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people.'" You have two verbs here that he says, fear not and behold. Now, these are mutually exclusive verbs. If you're not beholding, then you're fearing. And if you are beholding, then you're not fearing. See, the gospel of Jesus brings the end to fear. So behold what? Behold the gospel of Jesus, the good news of great joy, the message of Christmas. Behold it, and it overcomes your fears. If you're afraid of anything today, it's because you haven't taken a hold of the gospel of Jesus and the power of that. So what are we fearful of? Well, we're fearful of losing our health, losing our job. We're fearful of somebody surpassing us. We're fearful of getting caught or getting found out. We're fearful of the bully. You know, humans spend, are fearful creatures, and we spend a lot of our time and energy trying to stay away from the things that bring us fear. And I know for a lot of people, that's running away from God as well. To run away from that conviction. If you're afraid of anything today, it's because you haven't taken a hold of the gospel of great joy by claiming Jesus Christ. It's an end to fear that he brought. And that's what he says in verse 11. The angel says, "For under you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." Make no mistake about this. The reason for Christmas is Easter. What we call Easter, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. I saw this picture on the internet this last week, and I want you to just meditate on it for a few moments. And also make no mistake, friends, that the enemy doesn't want the baby Jesus to grow up. He wants to keep Jesus as a baby in our minds. Because as long as Jesus is a baby and we just have fun and sing songs at this time of the year and never think about him after that, then we never acknowledge our sin and need for a Savior. We never acknowledge Jesus as the righteous judge over that sin and that we stand condemned without him. But Jesus is also the payment, the sacrifice that satisfies that righteous judgment. Jesus did not remain a baby. In his becoming a human and living the perfect life, the only person to do that, he became the perfect, spotless, sacrificial lamb. And because he was God, his power was infinite enough to wash away all of our sin. So we don't need a fear. We have the power of Jesus. Wonder at the good news of great joy, all those who are hopeless and suffering, knowing that the pain is redeemed as it leads you to God. Knowing that the fear is wiped away when you go to Jesus. If you're willing to hear and believe, are you? Are you willing? Will you believe in Jesus? And if you do, you will enter that third category of people that we have here today. Wonder at the gospel, all those who have hope. Wonder at the gospel, all those who have hope. Do you have hope in Christ? I do. I hope you do. And so did the shepherds. When the shepherds followed God and believed in Jesus, they were filled with hope. And so what did they do? Let's read the end of the text and be filled by it again as we go into this week of celebration. We'll start in verse 15 and see what the shepherds did when they were filled with hope. Verse 15, when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told to them concerning the child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. She had already heard it from the angel. And look in verse 20. Well, what had the shepherds done so far? They went with haste. They hurried and they told. They told in such a way that they just told the truth. And people wondered when they heard the truth. And here's what they did. Verse 20. Finally, the shepherds returned back to their people, back to their homeland, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. That was the response of one who's filled with hope. Wonder at the good news of Jesus. And like the shepherds, we celebrate the birth of Jesus. He's the greatest gift ever given. And like the shepherds, I want to encourage you, challenge you, to glorify and praise God in such a way that despite any pain or fear, you will light up your homes, your workplaces, and your neighborhoods as you can't help but radiate the glory of God. Because the message you have to tell, because the way that you celebrate and worship, like the shepherds did. Now, that is an encouraging message, and I do pray, and I have prayed, that you won't just be unchanged by this, but that you'll really make this week special, and that it'll set the course of your life in a direction of great praise and worship. So I have a few things with my last minute. I have five ideas for you to consider. You might choose one or two of these. This might be helpful. So if you want to write this down, go ahead. But just consider this, these five ideas. First, calm down. Calm down so you can worship. See, if you don't calm down, you won't have any space and time in your life to worship God. So that's where we'll start. Whatever that takes, do it. Second, definitely read Luke 2 with new eyes in your home, or all the Christmas passages with new eyes in your home. Make a priority to be in the Word this Christmas. Third, if you do Christmas presents, not everybody does, but if you do, wrap baby Jesus and open him first. He is the greatest and the first Christmas gift, and all the other presents are wrapped to represent how Jesus was wrapped in swaddling cloths. So make him the purpose. He is the purpose and the focus of Christmas. Make him so in your home. Fourth, this is your last chance to invite someone to the Christmas Eve service. You have one more day. So pray for divine encounter, somebody that you can, hey, come with me. Christmas and Easter are the two times where almost anybody will go to church. Let's take advantage of that. Like the shepherds and tell and invite. Pray now for that person. One more day. Hopefully we'll see them here tomorrow. And then finally, look for someone hurting to bless. A lot of the world tells you Christmas is a time for giving, and that's right, but it's a whole lot easier said than done. We've got to give. We've got to look for somebody that's hurting to bless, to include, to invite, to pray over. And if you are hurting, call out to Jesus more than anything else that you go to right now and see how he answers you. And may the wonder of the shepherds be evermore our wonder this week and forever. Let's pray. Lord God, we have been faced this morning with your word, your truth, your gospel. And I pray that none of us goes home unchanged. And I do pray that our worship will radiate your glory in such a way that's unmistakable and attractive to the world, even as they despise us. Not expecting to be perfect, but always knowing that when we fail, we can be forgiven by the infinite grace of Jesus Christ. We are so thankful. So we celebrate you, Jesus, and we thank you and love you in Jesus' name. Amen.